Hey, lovely people, and welcome back to another segment here on Gems Podcast. I want to thank you so much for tuning in again. With me today is a very special guest by the name of Chris Donaldson, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Chris so you could get acclimated. So Chris was on his return from South America. He joined the family furniture shop in Belfast, which over the years he expanded into London and Dublin. He was UK master franchisor for a fitness company, developed a health and fitness franchise, and a mobile app company in Dubai, where he lived for 8 years with his family on a 47-foot yacht. His hobbies include sailing and flying. Following his quest to do things his own way, he built his own aeroplane. He still rides his Moto Guzzi Le Mans SOI 222, and some years ago rode it to Moscow and St. Petersburg with his wife, Julie. The journey still impacts his life to this day, where he continues to go the wrong way whenever he can. The journey to Australia finally happened after 43 years. He now lives in Belfast and is a father of two beautiful girls. So without further ado, I want to welcome the man behind it all, Chris Donaldson.
Thanks, Sam. Hello to you. Hello to you too.
So, Chris, I want to give the audience a chance to get to know you in a fun and personal manner. And since you already done your due diligence, you know what's next. We could either do a rapid fire 10 question game or an icebreaker. What are you in the mood for?
Oh, we'll go for the 10 questions, I think.
Okay. We're playing rapid fire with Chris and Genesis. Do, 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 do. Question numero uno. Chris, where are you originally from?
Belfast. It's not a hard question.
No. I had to start with something light.
No, fair enough.
Question two. Do you speak any other languages besides English?
No. I used to speak a bit of Spanish when I was traveling through South America, but I've forgotten it all, I'm afraid.
Okay. Question three. If you could trade places with anyone for 24 to 72 hours, would you trade places or remain yourself?
I would change places with President Putin for 24 hours, maybe make a few changes.
Okay. Well, no, I'm going to make this question four. Question four. What changes would you make trading places with Putin?
Well, you get everybody to sit down and talk and stop being silly about this whole thing.
Okay. Question five. You just came across a windfall of money. However, in order to get your proceeds released, you must contribute to three charities of your choice. What charities are you contributing to?
That's a good question. The Lifeboat Association, which is your Coast Guard, I guess, in the States, because they do a lot of sailing. The air ambulance for motorbikes, and God knows. Let's think about that. Don't know.
Okay.
<Mine's good play.
laughs> No worries. So y'all, the other one will come soon, but it's going to be a good cause that Chris is going to contribute to. Question six. What is one thing on your bucket list that you wish to achieve?
Riding my motorbike around the world, I guess.
Okay. Question. So you want to ride it around the world? And
yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm 2/3 of the way around already, so hopefully it's an achievable ambition.
I like that. Question seven. What is one of your favorite places you have visited so far?
Probably Australia. Australia, it's a country that seems to have it all.
Question eight. What is one mantra that you live by?
Probably don't give up.
Okay, don't give up.
Keep banging away.
I like that because it's always challenging you to do the next thing.
Yeah.
Question nine. You're a dad to two beautiful girls. What's one piece of parenting advice you would give to a new or seasoned parent?
New or seasoned parent?
Yes.
Spend time with your kids. You don't know when you're not going to see them again.
Hmm.
You get old very quickly.
I like to say you get seasoned very quickly.
Yes, is that too?
And question 10, it is our pass or play question, and here are the rules. If you pass, our roles are reversed, and you could ask me a question. If you choose to play, I ask one last question of rapid fire. So are you passing or playing?
I'll play.
Okay, last question here. What's one thing that you love about your wife?
The way she looks after me.
Aww. And you've just finished rapid fire, Chris. So audience, I hope you learned a little bit more about Chris personally and professionally. Now we're going to dive into the work that he's doing right now, which he loves to travel and stages of life. So Chris, what in your stage of life that you're currently in, what is one thing about traveling that appeases you? Because sometimes when people get older in life, they don't want to travel as much.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm now 65, so it's a sort of generally known as a sort of retirement age. It's reaching the sort of stage you're supposed to be winding down. And I've watched a lot of friends taking early retirement and been a bit disappointed with what they've done with themselves. They spent money on flashy motorbikes or flash cars and go on a few holidays, and then they just retreat, play golf a couple of times a week and dig in the garden. I think a lot of people forget to challenge themselves that they would have done the way they would have done them when they were younger or middle-aged. They forget about learning new tricks, learning new trades, and as I say, keeping their brain active. So it's one of the challenges I made myself when I hit 63. There was, as I say, to try and ride my motorbike around the world. Which I set off a year and a half ago and got to Australia in March. So 2/3 of the way there, just got America to do now.
Nice. And I like the fact that you mentioned keeping yourself active, and that's physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually is, you know, helps with that activity level. And there are various stages in life that you like to talk about. So why do you think that some people who retire early, or maybe they retire late, why do you think they're challenged with, you know, staying active in ways that allows them to fire on all cylinders, for lack of better words?
Well, I think everybody's different, but I've spoken to a few people, and for instance, I've spoken to a couple of doctors who said that one of their problems in retiring was they were so busy and so dedicated to their trade, to being a doctor, to being professional and being the best that they could be when they were working, that they had very little time for outside work activities. And then when they stopped working, all of a sudden they're going from, you know, controlling people's health and well-being and making life-changing decisions to, as I say, digging the garden. And it's just such a shock to the system, mentally and physically, probably. It's easier for other people, probably, that, like myself, who's always been in the private sector, always ducked and dived at different things. So I've always kept a finger in different pies. But I think generally, as people get older, they sort of get more set in their ways and they stop being interested in doing different things and learning different things. And once you stop learning or wanting to learn different things, new things, I think you lose a bit of the buzz, you know?
I could see that. And I guess with you having different pieces of the pie and your fingers in different things, have you ever thought about going into the coaching space and helping people that are within your age demographic challenge themselves to live again? Because as long as you're still breathing, you still have life inside of you, and you still have purpose while you're here on Earth.
Well, I'm probably too selfish for that. I don't mind helping people, but I think as well as that, older people, they don't like being told or that they're doing something wrong. They're, some people anyway, they get more set in their ways, and I think it'd be a difficult job coaching old people. I think it's much easier to teach young people how to do things rather than old people. I'll try to lead by example, maybe just.
Yeah, I would love to see that, because like you see a lot of, you know, millennials, my age group, or a little bit older within the coaching space, but you necessarily don't see a lot of, you know, retirees in the coaching space helping other retirees, like with that self-motivation and reintroducing who they are to live again, because just because you have retired and you're in that quote unquote stage of life does not mean that you need to be sedentary or you need to be flatline. You could still do what you were doing, whether it was in your business or corporate America, but do it on a smaller scale. Like, for example, you gave up the example of a friend being a doctor. Well, yeah, you did it in a big mass space, but maybe you could, you know, help other people who may not have as much money to pay a quote unquote, you know, big name practice, but you could help them in the respective space. That's something that you train to do, something that you love to do, but now you're also giving back on a smaller scale, and that's still keeping you young and reviving again. And that's why I asked the question the way I did, because sometimes it's just about us shifting and changing our perspective to lend a hand where we're already a SME in that space, a subject matter expert. Would you agree or disagree?
I totally agree. Yes, it's time to give something back, and also give back to yourself, because, you know, a friend of mine is in the retirement home or the residential home business, and he could see people would come in, men especially, they'd be fitting well when they retire, but they could see a very sudden mental and physical decline because they've stopped actually doing things. Obviously, you know, if you don't use your muscles, you know, you become unfit very quickly as you get older. And if you stop using your mental muscles, your brain, you lose capacity to think and to make decisions, and you lose the will as well. So you're looking after yourself as well by keeping yourself active.
Oh yeah, because I'm definitely after my mom, and she's 69. I made her take 2 fitness classes today, and I'm like, I will drive you, because I'm like, you need to get up and do something and stay fit and active. So I love that. And I also like to practice what I preach. So I want to drill down into stages of life and then coming of age. So when you mentioned stages of life, and that being your specialty that you like to talk about, what exactly do you mean by that, Chris?
Well, my experience started, story started, I suppose, when I was born and bred in Belfast in the 70s, which is a pretty crappy place to be brought up. There was lots of trouble going on with bombs and bullets flying. And one of the things I wanted to do, like a lot of Irish people, is get out of the place. So whenever I was 21, I decided to ride my motorbike to Australia. It was a sort of ambition I'd had for years when I was a teenager. Unfortunately, timing was against me, because I left in October 1979, got as far as London, and the Ayatollah Khomeini decided to take over the American embassy in Tehran, and the Islamic revolution kicked off in Iran. So that sort of closed the road east. So I was sort of stuck. I left home with nowhere to go. So I ended up going down through the Middle East, across the Sahara and down to South Africa in the middle of apartheid, and managed to get a job in a sailing yacht. We sailed back to Europe and then over to the States, drove around the States up to Canada, spent a while in North Carolina, and then decided to go to South America. So I ended up in Argentina a year and a half after I left to go to Australia. I started writing a book about it then, and then I was only 22, 23, and I gave up pretty quick. I couldn't concentrate, couldn't focus my mind on it, but I finally finished writing the book 40 years later, and it's called Going the Wrong Way, because obviously you can't get much further away from Australia by going to Argentina. So that was another challenge. I was never an academic at school. I was never one of who would be putting known for putting pen to paper, but the book's been a bestseller on Amazon around the world. It's gone very well. So whenever it's very much a coming of age story as well, obviously. Let's just come back to your original question. I was 21, 22, it's boy to man, learning how to look after yourself and present yourself and rationalize your thought processes away from your peers and your parents and everybody else. So it's sort of whenever I cut to the end of the working life as I am now, a couple of years ago, one of my friends suggested, well, you never actually got to Australia, so why not have another go? So I decided to make it a bit more difficult because I actually took the same motorcycle. I still had the same motorcycle from 1979. So I took the same bike with me. I got to Australia last March. So it was interesting. I really did sort of compare. I can really compare what my movements were, what I did when I was 21 to when I was 65 at the end of my working life. Is it the same motorcycle? And actually, well, this time I suppose it did better. I actually succeeded in getting to Australia.
Wow, that is impressive. The same bike from 1979. And the fact that when you were 21, you tried to go there, but then you got rerouted another way and you went the wrong way to make a full circle back. And you wrote a book about it 40 years later, and congrats on it being the bestseller. So going the wrong way and then having you learn various things that you did while going through life, what was one of the hardest lessons that you've learned, and how has it shaped you to the man you are today?
Well, when I started writing the book, I realized that I hadn't got the title at that stage. Going the wrong way came because obviously, as I say, it's the wrong direction, went west instead of east, but also realized that it's been a sort of direction I've gone on lots of different stages in my life. I've gone a more difficult route, the road less traveled, but whichever way you want to say it. But I very often, just from my personality or my whatever's happened, I've done things in a different way than would be the easiest way to do it. But if on reflection, I've looked back and I've seen that I've done it. It's given me a lot more pleasure, a lot more of a challenge. And different things have given me a lot more pleasure because I've succeeded at the challenge. If something's too easy, very often it needs to be difficult for you to get pleasure out of the success of it. But on the downside of that, is very often I've done things or tried to do things that have gone wrong. Haven't worked out. So it could all end in tears as well. When you go the right way, it's usually for a good reason. It's a sensible thing to do, and it's that's the way you've been told to do it. But I think people have all become very health and safety conscious and very PC, politically correct, and people are sort of a bit scared to step out of line now compared to 40 years ago, which I think is a bit disappointing for young people, especially because you're going to miss out a lot of fun, a lot of excitement of finding things out for themselves rather than just doing it the way they've been told to do it.
I wholeheartedly agree. And I chuckled when you say that because I'm actually Caribbean descent. My mom is from St. Vincent and the Grenadines and my dad was from Curacao. And so, like, I've always been the one to ask, like, all these questions and kind of challenge my mom in a sense, whereas growing up, she said, oh, well, whenever I grew up, my mom said something and that was it. Like, but here you are, like, saying, I say something and you question what I say. And I was like, well, questions are made to ask. And I feel like that's the only way I'm going to learn. And I was born in America, unlike my brothers. So I see the way that they were raised in comparison to how I was raised. I did have a little bit more lax and freedom, but I do feel like sometimes me challenging the system in a sense helped me become the woman that I am today. versus if I would have just went with everything that my mom and dad said. And I do feel like, you know, going the wrong way sometimes could be the right way for you in that season of life, because you didn't get there so quickly and you didn't get there so easy. So had you not faced some of the challenges you went through, you wouldn't appreciate the things that you have now, is kind of how I see it. So that's why I chuckled when you were explaining that, because I was like, this is so me.
But you do end up saying, so what am I doing? How did I get myself in this situation again? And what am I doing here? And why did I listen to myself an awful lot as well? So it doesn't always work out. So don't come back to me and shout if you get yourself into trouble with it. But as I say, just because something's been done in a certain way doesn't mean that you have to do it that way. And it's, I think I've always got pleasure out of learning how to do new things, as I was saying earlier. And if you're just following the rules, following the path is set for you, it sort of spoils a bit of the fun. It's easy. It's nice to do it your own way and learn it as you go along, I think, anyway.
I like that. And I like the fact that one thing that is standing out to me about you is that you are motivating yourself during this season of retirement, which is a new stage for you. You're not allowing yourself to just get complacent. It sounds like you're getting up, you're going, and you're really living life to the fullest, because this is just a new chapter. Would you agree with that, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, there's always reasons that you can't do things. People say, oh, I'd love to do what you did, riding your motorbike to Australia. I haven't got the time, but I didn't have the time either. Lucky, I suppose, I work for myself. So, and the way these days, you can bring your laptop with you, you can work anywhere in the world now, if you're an online business. But we cut the trip into six stages. I rode 2 weeks down to Athens in Greece, and then another 2 weeks to Israel, and then left a bike there, and then another 2 weeks to Dubai, another 3 weeks to Nepal, to Pakistan, and then Nepal. So we did it in stages. So there's, you know, there's always obstacles come along in front of you, and it's just a matter of trying to find a way around them. There's always usually a way around the problem that is put in front of you. It's just a matter of finding it.
Well, on that note, do you think that you will write another book, given the amount of traveling and biking that you're doing, to kind of be a second edition to your other book?
Well, I think I have got a wee bit more sensible, because it wasn't so many things went wrong this time as went wrong when I was 21. A good book always has to have lots of things going wrong in it, I think. So there's lots of stories in the first book. But I am writing a follow-up book, yeah, which is taking shape at the minute. It took me 40 years to write the first one, so don't be waiting too long.
Don't wait too long. You could talk about what's going right in retirement.
Yeah, that's true. So nobody wants to read that. Everybody wants bad news, you know. Everybody likes to hear problems rather than, you know, nobody wants to hear about a story that everything went perfect. Romeo met Juliet and they got married and lived happily ever after. Nobody wants to write a story about that, do they?
Hey, some people do. I like good stories, like the Hallmarks, the Lifetimes. Like you kind of want to see and hear some feel goods after hearing so much bad and junk and garbage on the news. Every now and then, yeah, you want something positive to like pick you up and be like, there's hope.
Well, I survived, I'm still alive. That's good news. That's the happy ending.
Yes.
So far, so good.
But you know why I asked that, like on the real, is because, you know, when you talk to, you know, some people say elderly people, I like to say seasoned people, there's so much wisdom that you could gather, but sometimes people don't want to sit down and actually hear what you all have to say because they're so busy and consumed with their lives that they're missing those priceless gems. If you don't get outside of your own head in your own way to get the wisdom from someone who has been there, done that, and surpassed you, then you're really missing out on key information. And that's why I asked, well, what's going right in retirement? You could talk about, well, I've invested in this, I've done this, and now here's the success. I've traveled the world. Here's how you could do it if you want a bike. Because think about, you know, someone once told me on my show, history does not repeat, it rhymes. So it's coming back full circle, whether or not we believe it. Like back in the day, do you remember bell bottoms, the wide leg pants? And now it's coming back. Well, it's already back and they call them bootleg pants. But my mom's like, those were bell bottoms. Well, now we're like, these are bootlegs. So history is rhyming. So think about it from that perspective. When I asked you that question, there's so many people who want the knowledge because they're like, if he's done this and he already knew the problems and he has the solutions now, I want to skip the problems and come up with the solution so I could surpass where I am now. And that's really why I asked, because, you know, what happens whenever you pass on? Would your daughters, your grandchildren, your generational lineage have those amazing stories and knowledge that you have if we don't share them?
Yeah, it's important to get the work to pass your knowledge on to the new people coming up through, the younger people coming through. If that's assuming they want to listen. I do more than once I've started talking to somebody, my kids, and they start realizing I'm starting to sound like my dad. Whenever you remember him talking to me like that, you know, and you're going, oh, for God's sake, what are you talking about? What do you know? What do you know? And I'm at that stage. Well, I think I do know, but then the kids do. They want to find out themselves too, don't they?
They do. Part of it. You just put the knowledge out there, and whenever they need it, and they're in that pickle, they'll be like, aha, now I see why dad or mom said what they said when they said it. And you're like, because I have those aha moments, and golly gee, I wish my dad was still alive. And my dad passed to medical negligence, and it'll be 3 years this November. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's not a day that goes by that I don't wish I had his little quirky wisdom.
Yeah.
So think about it. That could be the Genesis Gems Challenge for Chris Donaldson. What's going right in retirement? Here's the blueprint.
That's true. I'll get that down on paper and see what I can work with it.
But I do want to throw you an audible, all jokes aside, and ask you, based on your subject matter expertise and what you like to talk about, is there anything that I did not ask you during this conversation that you would love to share with the audience?
Well, I suppose one of the things I learned, realized, you go through life on a day-to-day basis, and you very rarely look back and reflect on what actually happened in your life. And I think writing the book gave me a great opportunity to see back into what I had my notes from when I was 21, my journals and so on. So I was able to read what I'd written when I was 21, 40 years later, with the wisdom that I have now over what I had before. And it's quite funny reading what it said when I was 21 and comparing to what I think now. But I do realize that by giving myself that challenge, and when I was 21, I was able to develop motivation and a determination, which is, as I've been able to use it throughout my life in different ways. I think it's important for kids to do some sort of challenge, to give them some target, rather than just going to school, going to university, going to a job, getting married. You know, it's important to have something in your life to set yourself a challenge to really test yourself and see how you do.
So true. Take the path of least resistance, and don't always go the cookie cutter way. Sometimes you have to step off the beaten path to really find and build that character of who you are. And I always like to tell the young people, I am so young, don't be what they want you to be who you want to be. Because here in the States, they always ask, hey, what do you want to be when you grow? But they never take time to drill in and say, who do you want to be when you grow up? And the who is the character. The who comes with the personal development, the professional development, and et cetera. But if you're going down this cookie cutter path, go to school, get a degree, get a good job, have the house with the white picket fence and whatnot, then you're just falling in line with the statistics, just like everybody else. So you're going to have that ordinary take, but where do you become extraordinary? Where do you become the man or woman that you were destined to be and not live in the limelight and shadows of other people? So I just wanted to add that with what you said, because it's so true. And I feel like you know, today's society is showing everyone an image that they want people to feed into. But how many of us stop and think, is that image really me? Or am I doing that to follow suit and stand in line?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned today's society, and I think God has a lot to answer for it with it, because there's so much social media and everything that's online is, and the governmental pressure and corporate pressure is for everybody to be the same, to think the same way. It annoys me to sort of sound like an old man again, but this sort of woke culture that nobody's allowed to have a thought process outside the norm, outside the what everybody's supposed to think. I think there's a very strong pressure on people to think the same way and do the same things, to wear the same clothes. It's always been that pressure with fashion. Obviously, people do like, nobody likes to be completely different, but I think there's been an awful lot with the online world coming together. It's more and more focus for kids to fit in, for them to fit in and not stand aside, not stand out from the crowd. I think people should be able to stand, be confident enough to stand out and say, I'm going to do it my way, I'm going to wear this, I'm going to say this, but it's the way of the world it's going. No, I'm starting to sound like my dad again.
No, there's nothing wrong with sounding like your dad. He had wisdom, and now you have wisdom. And so, guys, you heard it here with Chris and I. Like, you don't have to do everything that society is telling you or programming. You could deprogram and reprogram yourself and be who you destined to be. Do what you are called to do. Do what makes you happy. Do something because it feels good and it feels right to you, not because somebody else has subjected it upon you. So Chris is here telling you about the things that he has done in his life. And if you want to do some of the things that he has done, there's no shame in reaching out and asking him. So Chris, I want you to share your call to action with the audience, as well as your contact information, your website.
It'll be to buy my book. It's an Amazon plug. One of the beauties about the online business or online world is that I can be sitting in Belfast and write a book and have it delivered all over the world online and on ebook and audiobook and wherever, you know. So it's fantastic, some of the benefits of the online world. But yeah, my website's chris.donaldson.world, sorry. And the book's called Going the Wrong Way by Chris Donaldson. It's on Amazon, and probably the best place to get it.
So there you have it, y'all. You just heard my special guest today, Chris Donaldson. Go grab his book, Going the Wrong Way. Learn something, write about it, ask him questions, and get plugged into his community by finding his information on his website. All of that will be in the show notes. And my big ask, ASK, is for brand sponsors. It does take monetary resources to build and fuel the mission and movement behind the show, which is to consistently bring content that is educational, inspirational, and motivational, while also weaving in DEIB, which is diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. Because whether you like it or not, it takes all of us coming together to make this world a better place. So leave an imprint to make an impact for future generations to come. I believe in you, so believe in yourself. Until next time, bye, y'all. Signing out, Genesis Amaris Kemp and
bye.
Chris Donaldson.
Thanks. That's my cue.
No worries, y'all.